got it. Cooper Kupp brings it in.
Welcome back, football DFS fans. This is our last time in the regular season, Jack. The last show that we're going to be doing. Obviously, we've got Christmas coming up. I'm not even in the country on Tuesday. I know that Mark isn't in the country either. And I think it's fair to say, mate, that fatigue has set in on a long season.
Yeah, it kind of always happens this time of year, doesn't it? It gets to the end of the season and the fatigue sort of kicks in for us. But still a couple of slates for us to attack. And yeah, I'm looking forward to I've got the golf stuff on tonight. I'm looking forward to my favourite DFS sport being back in, about 2 weeks now?
Yeah, but it's back in the new year. Is it? It's Century, is it? On the 4th of Jan, is it? I think.
Yeah, January the 4th, we start again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the golf being back, to be honest. I said to you on the chat the other day, Jack, that I'm kind of at a point where I feel like I'm enjoying watching Red Zone, but not really enjoying the actual DFS part that comes with it. And I know you've spent the last couple of Sundays deep in the lab, but it takes its toll, doesn't it? Because you know we do put time into this and time into the research and different lineups, different scenarios, different builds, trying to keep up with all the information. And I'm kind of just at that point in the season now where I'm like, I'm fading a little bit. I'm fading.
I'm not quite there yet. I'm ready to attack these last few slates most definitely. But it's been a hard slog this season. It was a very, very hot start for us. Very, very good start. I've had two bad weeks on the trot now. Last week I scored 156 points in double up lineups and none of them cashed. I couldn't believe it. The benchmark for cash this year has been around about the 140 mark. I scored the 156 and none of them cash at all. And I just couldn't believe it. I was just like, wow. That's probably testament to other people. Maybe people are getting better at the game as such. I'm still going to be going at it, trying to achieve goals and things like that. But I am looking forward to January the 4th when my mind will go somewhere else.
And we'll probably be back at some point in the playoffs as well, because it's where all the best football in the season gets played. So I've no doubt we'll be back at some point, either during the playoffs or certainly before the Super Bowl happens. But you just mentioned this past week there, Jack. I've had a few pretty poor weeks, to be honest. Over the season, well up still, because I've had some really good weeks. But the last few weeks have just been, looking back, just weeks of kind of second guessing myself and almost trying to be a little bit too different with the lineup and it coming back and biting me in the ass. Like this past week, for example, just tried to get to I had a bit of exposure to the San Francisco game, but thought, like, I felt like everyone was on Brock Purdy and stacking him with a receiver, stacking him with McCaffrey, even playing the defense. And Brock Purdy's just being priced too low on DraftKings and has been for a few weeks now. But I was kind of like, well, everyone's going there, so I'm going to go somewhere else. And it just didn't pan out. I have actually written down as one of my learns of the season, which we'll come to as we go through this evening. But it's not been a good few weeks. So, and I won't be playing for the next couple. I will be able to play this weekend slate, but then I'll be away. So it's probably just as well that I get the break from it.
Yeah, so I went to the Rams Washington game last week. I knew that was going to be a popular sort of place for people to go. I saw everyone was going to the Rams side of it. I pivoted in GPPs to the Washington side a little bit more. I still played Kyron Williams. But I was playing, I played Sam Howell, Stacks there. Unfortunately, didn't get come through. They just benched him in the fourth quarter. I was kind of rubbing my hands together a bit. I was like, well, he's done okay to this point, and now he's gonna have to sling it in the fourth quarter because they were so far down. I thought, well, and then they trot out Brissett, and I was like, what the hell's going on here? It's that time of the season, isn't it? It's silly time. You get these random ass players going in for touchdowns, and you're like, who the hell is this guy? Like, I've never heard of him. And it's so tilt. I don't tilt anyway, but I know it tilts other people. It's so tilting watching it. You see some really weird stuff. I mean, the Falcons annoy the hell out of me. I saw the I don't know if you've watched any of that game, Nick, but it comes to second and goal on the 1 yard line, and they were like, I just knew what was going to happen. They had CPAT in and Bijan Robinson. I just knew what was going. I knew what was coming, and it's CPAT who goes into the end zone, and I'm just there. I'm like pulling my hair out. I'm like, what is this crap? Like, what is this? Like, and do you know, I don't tilt, but like, you're watching it, and I'm like, I just want these coaches to learn a lesson. And like at them points in the game, I just want that player to fumble the ball. Like, it's just like these coaches need to be taught a lesson. Just use your best players. Like, it's quite a simple like process to do. But yeah, it was one of them weeks. I say a squad. I wouldn't really change anything I've done. I always do that in GPPs. If I see a popular game, I just go to the other side of it a little bit more in GPPs. I played Stafford in cash. He was fine in cash. And I just, you know, as I say, I can't believe 156 points didn't cash in double ups. But it is what it is. It's one of them weeks, you know. I mean, I scored 162 on 1 points on one lineup that I had. And that didn't even cash in the GPP. I was like, what do you do? Like, you know, it's just one of them weeks. People have become better at the game, things like that. And yeah, it's just one of them weeks. Back to back bad weeks, but yeah, it is what it is.
What kind of summed it up a little bit for me was I was building my lineup on the Sunday afternoon, I looked and I saw a stat of from Derrick Henry, which was the last five times he's played the Houston Texans, he has absolutely torched them.
I saw that.
All five times he's had over 100 yards, and for three of the games it was like 150 odd yards, 200 yards, 200 and something yards. So I thought, wow, the history's there. Now, the Texans are maybe a little bit better this season, but then I thought, they've got injuries throughout their offense. Case Keenum's starting for them. Wide receiver one is basically Noah Brown. I thought, well, do you know what? If ever there was a game environment for the Titans to hog the ball and just run it down the Texans' throat, who haven't been fantastic against the run this year by any stretch, and I think, what did he finish on? Was it 13 yards off something like 15 carries? It was bonkers.
Yeah.
And Derrick Henry, yeah, I know you said on the chat to me that he's kind of dust. In recent weeks, he's looked a little bit like the Derrick Henry of old, not quite as explosive, but he's been putting up the fantasy numbers at least, or the fantasy scoring. And that just kind of summed it up for me this week. I thought, I feel like there's not that much buzz on Derrick Henry. And then, yeah, maybe for a reason.
I saw the same stats as you, and I played him in one lineup. He's dust. Like I put this on Twitter, and then someone come at me, it's the O-line. I was like, you can't blame the O-line when he's like, for that amount of the season and the amount of work that he's been getting and things like that. He's dust. He's, you know, it happens to these running backs. It's not, I'm not saying that he's not had a great career. He has. He surprised me with the career he's had. I didn't think, I've never ever particularly liked him, like as a, likes, you know, it's a bad word to use. I've never particularly thought that he would be as successful as he has been in the NFL because of the way he runs. Like, you don't see them running backs that are basically, he's basically a two down back. He does nothing in the receiving game. So you see, you don't really see those guys succeed to a level like Derrick Henry has. So, you know, I have to come back a bit on that. But
he had the, he had like a couple of slow years to start his career as well. Yeah. I feel like he was a late bloomer at the position.
He was. But these players, these running backs especially, get burned out very quick. You see it all the time. Zeke, Gurley. Look at, I know Gurley had dodgy knees, but Gurley is another one. You know, you see it all the time with these guys. It's going to happen to CMC one day. You know, he, what he's doing right now is amazing. Like, he's so good to watch. But it happens. Like, you know, I generally think he's dust. And there's a tight end as well that I think's nearing the end at the minute. And he plays for the Chiefs. And, that, you know, hot take. I do. I generally think Travis Kelce is coming to the end of his career. And that's not, again, he's had a fantastic career. He's probably, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, you know, he's probably the best. For me, he's probably the best tight end ever to play the game. You know, I've seen Gronk in his prime, and I wasn't really a massive NFL fan when Tony Gonzalez was around, but it happens to these players. Like, and, you know, I say you can't show emotion when you're playing DFS, and I hence why I played Derrick Henry last week. I saw the same stats as you did, Nick. I saw that he torched the Texans, and I just thought it was the perfect game script scenario for him. I thought the Titans would control the game on the ground against them, against Case Keenum, and I was so glad they lost that game in the end. It was just like absolute dumb play calling. It was the same with the Falcons. I was so happy they lost the game. It was just stupid play calling. You deserve everything you get when you start play calling like that.
What annoyed me even more was I thought, do you know what? I'll cover my bases in another lineup, because if Derrick Henry doesn't smash, DeAndre Hopkins has been quite productive recently. That kind of revenge narrative, which I don't like building lineups off, but do you know what? If it's out there in the DFS sphere, then fine. But I thought, well, do you know what? He has been pretty good in recent weeks, so I'll throw him in. He was quite cheap again, not a lot of buzz. And every time the Titans move down the field, the ball was going to Chris Moore. Every big reception was Chris Moore.
Yeah.
Like, when's that ever been a thing other than in whatever week we've just been, week 15 in the NFL season? Like, well, it is silly season. Pleasantly surprised after the weekend to find that I'd only entered a couple of best balls, because I've said to you before, Jack, it's not my thing. I'll probably play more next year, actually. But it's just more than anything with me, it's actually just sitting down and having the time to bloody draft the things.
I kept doing mine in the past.
Yeah. Amongst sending pictures to us. Like, I was pleasantly surprised to see that I was actually 50% of my entries got through, of which the 50% has fallen at the first hurdle. But that's fine. I'll reinvest that money into Euro League. And by reinvest, I mean I'll donate.
You'll donate. Yeah,
basically, yeah, donate to the charity of EuroLeague. so yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much enough for week 15.
Before you move on with best ball, I've got two teams that have advanced to the next stage. Also, a nice $150 hitting my DK account today from the other ones that didn't make the next stage. But I'm sure I'll reinvest. Well, I'm going to reinvest that somewhere else probably this weekend. We'll see. I think I might have a bit of a blowout this weekend. I might enter a $100 contest and go at it, see what happens.
You know, it's a double game week in EuroLeague, don't you? So
I do, yeah, and I've donated tonight in EuroLeague. unfortunately, because the team that I had built originally has absolutely nuked. Of course it has, and then I changed it because we got the starters late on, and starters mean nothing in EuroLeague. I've worked that out a long time ago. I don't know why I changed it. but yeah, I've got two teams that have advanced to the next stage. One of them's in pretty good nick, actually. It's got all my running backs are healthy. There's no sort of real bad injuries on it. So one of them probably got a chance to go again into the next stage. The other one, I think, will definitely fall at this hurdle.
Well done, Jack. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
But yeah, good strategy again. Let's talk about some of the things that we spoke about as a kind of final regular season pod. Even though the regular season isn't over, we said that we wanted to just have a bit of a summary of the year, things that we've learned, and these will be obviously from some of the topics we've covered and conversations we've had and things that we've just learned or things that have changed on the way, because DFS is an evolving game constantly. It's evolved even this season from last season. So I think we'll just open this up, Jack, I guess. Like, one of my biggest learns from this year, and I said about Brock Purdy at the start, but that Niners stack felt really chalky this week. And I feel like the chalk has hit a lot this season. And I still stand by chalk is just chalk. There's no good chalk, there's no bad chalk, certainly not until the outcome of the game. But I think for me, like this past week signified, like there's weeks where I've had really good weeks and I have had chalk there. And this past week tried to get too different and it hasn't hit, when actually probably what I should have done is just played the chalk a little bit more and got different elsewhere. So that is one big learn for me, is chalk is what it is. Just don't ignore it.
Yeah, I mean, I never ignore chalk. There is no good or bad chalk. Even in the case of Zach Moss, he's been chalk for 3 weeks. He was on the Saturday slate, wasn't he, last week? He's been chalk for the last three slates. I actually faded him on the Saturday slate, so that was nice. But especially as he went out injured as well, didn't he? And then when the backup running backs come in, they just seem to do all right in that game. But chalk. I try and get different with my stacks more than anything. I'm quite happy to eat if there's sort of one-off players in per position, like a running back or something like that. I'm quite happy to eat that chalk if it fits the narrative of my stack. Like I say, I will just... What I would tend to do, I'll find the chalky game stack. Like we've already mentioned one tonight. Last week it was the Rams side of the Rams Commanders game. So I pivoted to the Washington side, and you know, I'll continue to do that. As for lessons sort of learned for me, I don't really hold any regrets this season with anything. I remember one game week. It stood out for me, and it's the one that I really do regret. I left a lot of money out there, basically, put it that way. I late swapped. I think it was week 5 or 6. I still done quite well. I just didn't do, I left a lot of money out there, put it that way. If I'd left what I originally was going to go with. So that may be something that I adapt in the future. Like there's obviously, I build these teams throughout the day on Sunday from 1 o'clock till kickoff. And there's obviously a reason that I like the players and the teams that I'm building, because, you know, I'm consuming all the content throughout the day, throughout the week as well. So yeah, I think my lesson learned really will be to get away from late swapping.
Yeah, that's I've actually written down as one of mine as well, and there's about six things here that I've written down, but one of them is listen to your gut or go with your gut. And I think that's like I've fallen foul of that this season, definitely, where a player who I've swapped out late, either from some late news or something, and I abandon all reason of why I picked that player in the first place and just go with, like, it's almost like recency bias. It's like, oh, well, this bit of news has come out, so I'm just going to put him in instead. When actually often you can look at all the stats you want, all the projections, read all the tweets, all the content. In the end, it does also come down to when you know the sport and you watch the sport, I feel like it also comes down to a bit of gut feel with some of the picks.
That's definitely that's the same with golf, you know. Like I watch every PGA Tour event going from Thursday to Sunday. You know, I'll quite happily sit there till midnight every night watching it. And even in that, like I build models for golf, and you know, I look at all the stats of what these players are doing, but sometimes I just need an eye test. Like if I see someone that's done well the previous week, I'm thinking, well, I've seen a little something from you. Like last week, I know you finished probably T40 or something like that the previous week, but I saw something from you in that last round that caught my eye, and I think that you could set up well here. And you know, I've had that in the past. I've done that with golf quite a lot, and it works out. So because, you know, the next week you play them, no one's on them, and then they come like T10 or something, like, or you know, I've had it in other cases, they've won. And so sometimes you're right, you just need, you watch the sport, you need that. It's just an eye test thing sometimes. You look at it, you think, well, why is no one talking about this guy? Like, have they not seen what I've seen?
Yeah, so I had that. These two are kind of linked, I guess, but we've spoke about big stacks throughout the year, and it feels like it's been the season of big stacks. And I feel like I've kind of moved away a little bit more from feeling like ownership is a priority, because I feel like that kind of combinatory ownership is more important than individual ownership when you're building stacks. And like, just to expand on that for anyone, if you have three players that are all 20% owned, for example, each player you add to that stack, your stack becomes more unique. So the ownership of that stack, the bigger it is going to have a lower ownership. So in theory, and I think that's like when I've been building stacks this year, like I said, I feel like big stacks has definitely been the thing this year, where it's been minimum 2-3 player stack. And then in some instances, it's kind of been 5 players from the same game. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But if you pick the right game, the right players, less needs to go right elsewhere in your lineups, because you'll just absolutely smash.
Well, I said this week one, didn't I? I said, we do this in every other sport. I don't understand why we don't do it in NFL. And, you know, I've been proven right this year with it. I saw someone win the Millie Maker last year. I review every Millie Maker lineup every week. I saw someone do it last year, and I was like, well, why are we not doing this more? Why are more people not doing this? We do this in baseball. It's like a 5 and a 4 stack in baseball. Sometimes we do it. Do it in NBA. We do it in hockey. You do it in golf. You can wave stack in golf. You know, like you just. So I don't know why.
Do it when we play like the Premier League or Champions League. You know, usually if you're going to play a forward, it makes sense to also play a winger or an attacking midfielder to go with them.
Most definitely. So. Yeah, I mean, I think we've been proven right on that it worked. I was on it from week one. Well, we were as a show. We was on it from week one. And I think that's, you know, I'm going to continue doing it going forward, because if you hit that mega stack, then that's you're completely different to the field already, because you've hit the mega stack. And then you can eat the chalk at all the other positions in your lineup. So you can see you're completely different to what the rest of the field is doing already. So yeah, I'm going to continue doing it. I think it's the best way to attack these slates, and I think it's the best way to try and take something big down.
Yeah. One of my biases going into this season, Jack, was I don't like paying up at tight end. I don't like paying up at defense. But again, another one of my big learns, or something I might change going forward, is sometimes it is just better to pay up where you don't want to. And I think tight end is still, like, tight end still a really varied position. You know, you said at the start about Kelce, who he's been tight end one for season after season after season, but this season hasn't produced like he has in previous season. He's still like the most expensive tight end every week, but he hasn't been a viable player really in most weeks in your life at his price tag. So from that perspective, that's like the tight end position is quite variable in terms of scoring. But there is also times where I look at it and I think even some of these cheap players, it's a complete punt. Am I better off just paying up for kind of like not necessarily an absolute top of the range tight end in terms of price, but like the week where Laporta smashed, for example, he was like 4,000 and whatever he was. You know, that's a justifiable pay up of salary for that player because the targets are there, the opportunity was there. And likewise with the defense, I always think play a cheap defense. I'm normally like scraping the barrel of the twos for a defense. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, adding 1,000 onto that and targeting one of the defenses that's kind of 3.5, 3.6, or even sometimes the ones that are pushing 4K. If you think of that as a receiver, if you were picking, like, you know, whatever you're left with budget and you think, right, well, I'll jam a 3,000 receiver into my lineup, you are saying a prayer that something's going to land, like one big play, that's all I need from him, or, you know, a couple of big catches for, you know, 30 yards, that'll do, it'll pay off. But you can't, even if you were kind of reinvesting that 1,000 into a receiver, you're not guaranteed the production by going up to, say, the 4,000 or the 4,500 receivers. It's still a variable range that you're still hoping for something, but obviously not guaranteed. You wouldn't put money on it per se, like you would with some of the top receivers. So I think the point that I'm kind of trying to make with it, Jack, is sometimes you can just bite the bullet and pay up a little bit more at a position you might not want to, because it could be the difference in your defense scoring 3 for that week and scoring 18 for that week. And you might not find that production somewhere else in your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with some of the statements you've made there. I always sort of pay down at defense. I'm a firm believer in that. I just pay anything from 3,000 down below, basically. But that doesn't mean I'm not willing to change. So if I build the rest of my lineup, for instance, and I've got $500 left, and I've got, let's say I've got a $3,000 defense in there already, I will then look, and if there's another defense that I prefer over the option that I'm using, then I'll pay up at the position that way. I don't go looking to pay up at that position. Never have, never will. Tight end's different. I will pay up at tight end. Like, I'm quite happy to, you know, there's only so many of these guys that catch multiple touchdowns and are reliable at the end of the day. You know, a lot of these cheaper tight ends that you play are proper pump. They're just pump plays. That's all they are. So I agree with it at the tight end spot. I'm quite happy to pay up at that position quite a lot of the time, especially, to be fair, the tight end spot is normally part of the stack that I use. I always try and use it as a part of my stack. So I'm more than happy to pay up at that position, but defense, I mean, like I say, unless if I come to the end of my build and I like my team and I've got $500 left, then I'll look at the position again and think, right, well, I can maybe spend it here, get up to this defense who, you know, got a more favourable matchup.
I agree. And it's not to say that I will be paying up at defence every week. It was more to say that I think what this season has shown is it is viable at times to pay up on defense for certain defenses. And I'll use Dallas as an example of that, because there was like, what, 5-6 weeks in a row where Bland goes and scores a pick six, and they generate a lot of pressure. Pressure leads to turnovers, especially at home where they were keeping teams to kind of like nigh on scoreless. San Francisco have been a viable pay up at defense because the defense is so good. Last season, Philadelphia probably were. This season, not so much. There's not, don't get me wrong, there's not been a lot of teams where you could absolutely say that that is the case. Like in recent weeks, the Bears defense has been really good, and still mostly cheap. You know, the Patriots, I feel like, get whacked every week, but their defense still scores reasonable. But that's a cheap defense, so that's where sometimes I think you can see a cheap defense and think, like, that's, I'm plugging them in, I don't even really need to think about this. Yep. But I think this season, there are sometimes teams that do emerge where it's viable as well to think, well, I don't mind spending a bit extra on that. Whereas in previous seasons, I've probably been a bit like, where can I shave money off my lineup? I'll just shave it off the defense and settle for something that's maybe going to give me less than 5 points. But and it's not to say that I would necessarily target a top end defense. It's more just kind of like they are viable players as well.
Yep.
No. Not at the sacrifice of a player you really want in your lineup, obviously. The last thing I had on my list, Jack, was Showdown. I don't think I've played a quarterback in the captain spot in Showdown at all this season until this week.
It worked for you.
I played the... What was the
it worked for you? It would have worked for you last night. Jalen Hurts was the optimal captain.
What was the Thursday night game last week? Oh, no, it wasn't the Thursday. It might have been the Saturday. Mitch Trubisky and who did the Steelers play? Was it the Colts? Was it Minshew?
Yeah.
Minshew did good anyway. I mean, Minshew did fine. But
was it the Colts? Did they play the Colts? Yeah, they did, because they ran it down their throat. Yeah.
But anyway, Minshew did fine. But over the season, when I've played Showdown and I've looked at some of the lineups, like, I've kind of been building my lineups where I think, well, quarterback's always one of the most expensive ones to put in. So I don't want to put them at captain because, obviously, 1.5 times salary. But there's been times this year where I've then looked at the winning lineup and been like, well, actually, yeah, captain was, you know, quarterback was the viable captain there based on how that team plays or the kind of game script or whatever you want to call it, and jamming in some of them cheaper players elsewhere that might not seem all that attractive on the surface, but it's worked in the lineups. I've not played a huge amount of Showdown up to this season because I second-guess myself with it, and this is where sticking to your gut kind of helps, I think.
Yeah, but, you definitely need to stick to your gut in Showdown.
And I like be brave with it as well. But yeah, there's definitely been times where I think I should have just played the quarterback and it would have been absolutely fine. And I could have still built a decent lineup, albeit not with 3 or 4 stars in it, which is what I'm kind of aiming for. And that's not the way to build Showdown lineups because everyone else is probably building exactly the same kind of lineup as well. I know that before we started, there was something that you said you wanted to kind of set the world straight, if you will, on Showdown, and there was something that needs to change to make it better.
I love Showdown, as you know. It's my favourite form of daily fantasy. But for NFL, I've not enjoyed it this year whatsoever. It's, as I've mentioned before, every milli lineup, for example, has been duped. Hundreds of times in some cases, and that's because of the Sims. And you know, I'm not going to go into a rant about the Sims. If you want to go and listen to stuff about the Sims, you can go back to like week 4 or 5 when we were going on this tangent about it. But they've ruined Showdown basically. The Sims. They've ruined the game. I think the game needs to change to counteract The Sims. So you either, I mean, they won't do this one, but you could lessen the entries, for example. They won't do that one anyway, but for good reason. I don't blame them, so I'm not advocating for that. I'm advocating for a change in the game completely. So I think you need to introduce like a vice captain option. So you have your captain option, where you have they get double points, and then your vice captain gets 1.5 or 1.25 extra points. And then I think that I don't think it's going to stop dupes, but what I think it will do is lessen the dupes, so to speak. I don't really have a major I've heard other things from people going on about this rant, going that let's introduce like an IDP play into it. I couldn't think of anything worse than doing that. Please don't ever do that. But the game needs to change because it's ruined. And, you know, you see it every week with the showdown contest. You see the dupes at the top. If you play showdown on FanDuel, for example, I mean, if you don't cash on showdown on FanDuel, I don't know what you're doing wrong, because it's even easier to cash. You only have to pick five players on there. But I firmly believe the game needs to change. I think otherwise showdown for NFL is going to die.
Do you find, I know you said you find it easier, Jack, but do you find that on FanDuel that you need, because there is that one less player in the lineup, you pretty much need 5 out of 5 to hit to be able to cash?
Not at all. I played the lineup the other week, and I had a guy in there that got 0 points. I literally just jammed it with 4 studs that I knew were going to score points. And then it was just like, oh, okay, I'll just chuck this random ass dude in who might get 15 yards, maybe a touchdown or something like that. He done nothing. He got absolutely zero. I still cashed. If you don't cash on FanDuel, you are doing something very, very wrong. It's even easier to play on there. But my issue is more with DraftKings. I think, because I don't play FanDuel a lot anyway, but I think the game needs a total revamp on DraftKings for NFL.
Yeah, I do agree. And like I said, I've not played a lot of showdown, but this season I've played more than I have in previous seasons. And I think we've spoke about the sim tools kind of killing showdown a little bit. Like the other week, who is it who scored? I think Mark said in our chat, he's like, you would have only played him had you have run a sim. Like,
It was Washington for the Jaguars.
Yeah, you would not have played him had you not have run some kind of sim. And you know what, fair play to the people that are using that. It is what it is.
I don't see how it's fun either. Like, these guys that are, I mean, they've lessened the showdown pools as well, I've noticed, throughout the season. There's not been many mini maker showdowns. They've all been sort of like 500k at top, and then I've seen a couple at like 300k. I don't see how it's fun splitting it with hundreds of people when you're max entering 150 lineups at $20 a go or $15 a go, whatever it is. And then you're coming away with like $4,000. I know, like, if me and you won $4,000, we put one or two lineups in, we'd be quite happy with $4,000. But those guys max entering at 150, they're just doing it to get their money back, so to speak, like, to me. And it just doesn't, I don't see any fun in it at all. Like, the Sims have ruined Showdown. They really have. I only play single entry Showdown contest now because I don't want to be going up against people on the Sims. And, I think something has to change. I think they need to change the game, adapt it somehow. I don't know how. I've just thrown something out with the vice captain, but I don't think that's a formula that's going to work itself either. I still think you're going to get the dupes. But I think something major has to change with Showdown.
I agree. What that is, who knows? But like you said, something has to change. Like all I've played has been single entry stuff in Showdown, and most of what I play is single entry anyway, or 2-3 entry max, unless it's EuroLeague. In which case, I'm just punishing myself. But the in Showdown even more so, because you can enter. Yes, there's always that chance that you could win a big mass entry, but with the tools that people are, it's just not going to happen, because they've any base that you think, oh, I can try and cover this base with this, like however different you're going to build your lineup, they've already built it, like that, it's already done.
I can think of one Showdown contest this year, right, where I would have got really wild. I mean, I get wild and do weird stuff in Showdown anyway. I'm not scared to lose the money, so to speak. I will just get weird. But I couldn't get weird in this Showdown slate because the frigging player wasn't even in the player pool. And it was that week I had Tony Jones and he went in for 2 touchdowns. He wasn't even in the DraftKings player pool. I would have played him in the captain spot. How different would that have been? He wasn't even in the player pool. I don't know. I think something has to change massively with it. It's going to fall on its ass otherwise, Showdown. And I'm not having a moan about people that mass enter 150 lineups. You know, that's their prerogative. That's what, you know, if they can afford to do it, fair play to them. I just don't see how it's fun winning $1,000 more on top of the money that you've entered into a contest. I don't, what's fun about that? I don't, you know, it doesn't, it's like, oh, you go, I suppose you can have the bragging rights. So I've come first, yeah, with like another 150 people. You know, whatever. Something has to change.
Anything else, Jack, learns or you would do differently before we move on to fantasy game day?
No, that's it really. I mean, I don't hold any regrets. I just keep going. I'm always willing to learn and adapt. That's the main thing with this game. And we preach that every week. And I will continue to do that. If I see something different and I think, oh, that's a bit different out there, I'll go and give it a go. Something like that. You know, I'm always willing. The moment you stop listening and learning is the day that you will lose a lot of money.
Agreed. Let's have a look at game day then. Now, this is where you know that the fatigue has definitely set in, because literally the show started this evening and as the titles are rolling, I was like, oh my God, I haven't done the game day. I haven't done a little game day graphic. So, Navy 4140, I can only apologise that I haven't done a graphic for your winning moment. It was close this week because Rich almost took it down again, lost out by 0.06 points to, I believe, a follower, which is always nice. Let's have a little look at the lineup then. So he's got a San Francisco stack of Brock Purdy at quarterback, Deebo Samuel at wide receiver, and he has McCaffrey as his captain, popular captain. I dare say I would have done better this week had I have stuck him there, but I didn't. I put Derrick Henry there because why would you not? So 83.4 was McCaffrey's score this week. You pretty much needed him in the captain spot this week, I feel like, to take this down. I don't think you were doing it another way. Zeke is his other running back. Fine. Yeah, I wasn't massive on Zeke this past week, but I understand why people were playing him. Jerick McKinnon is his other running back. So he's RB2 as Jerick McKinnon. Deebo Samuel, I've already mentioned. Curtis Samuel at wide receiver. And then he had Jaden Reed from Green Bay in the flex, and David Njoku at tight end, who had a big David Njoku day, 26.4 points. Hurdling players who were not in a position to be hurdled and just jumping into players in midair. But yeah, I mean, that lineup, some correlation in there, you know, the three San Francisco players as the stack. He has Elliott and McKinnon in there for the game stack. Didn't mind the Curtis Samuel play at all. In fact, I think I had him in at least one of my DK lineups.
Yeah, I played a lot of Curtis Samuel.
Played a lot of Reed because I also stacked Love. And in fact, I stacked Love in game day with Reed and with Kraft. Njoku, yeah, I mean, he's always got that week in him. It doesn't happen consistently. He has got that 1 or 2 weeks a season in him where he does do that.
He should probably burn himself again. He might, you know. Ever since he's burned himself, he started nuking the slates and things. It's crazy, really, what he's turned into. But he's, to be fair to Njoku, I've always liked David Njoku. Ever since he came out of college, he's a big dude.
I said, oh yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast of a dude. And I've never felt like the Browns have used him properly over the years. And, you know, there was that one season they brought Austin Hooper in, for example. And he's a player I've always liked, basically, ever since he's coming out. So, yeah, it's good to see him doing well anyway. I like the lineup all around, really. It's quite a chalky lineup if you look at it. It's got the big 49ers stack within there. Like you say, Zeke would have been popular because he was so cheap. I put him in the value report. I mean, he didn't get there in the end, but, you know, if I'm pretty sure about 70% of this field would have been playing Zeke last week just because of the price. He's probably got a bit different with Curtis Samuel. I know me and you were both on Curtis Samuel, but he wasn't being talked up massively across the industry. I didn't really see last week. So he's got different there. Samuel got into the end zone, which was good. Jaden Reed was a popular pick, but for good reason, again, was in my value report. Him and Tucker Kraft were both in my value report last week. They're just the Packers were so beat up on offense. You know, there was guys have got to catch the passes at the end of the day, and those two were next in line. Jaden Reed's one of them players as well that you can. He's a bit like, he reminds me of Curtis Samuel actually. He's one of them players that you can just use in so many different ways. He's like a gadget play. And Debo as well. This is a very good DFS lineup. He's got three of them players in there. They can get it done in totally different ways. I like the build all around. It's a chalky build, like I say. But there's nothing. I think the Njoku pick would have probably been a lot different to what other people were doing in this contest. I don't think many people were on David Njoku. I like the. It's a chalky lineup. It reminds me a bit of a cash lineup. In many regards, a lot of it, but it's totally fine for the totally fine for this contest. And congratulations, Rob McCann. That's who took it down.
Oh, is that who it was? Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I've had a little look at Rich's lineup whilst we've been on, and
we ain't reviewing that. It's on to the next one.
some similarities, but it's interesting. They got so close on the scoring, but because I expected to see pretty much the same lineup minus maybe one different player. Yeah. And the lineups are quite different. He has got Purdy. He has got McCaffrey at captain. Kyren Williams he puts in and stacks with Cup, which I had that same stack without Stafford, but with Williams and Cup on DraftKings because I just saw pathway to both of them doing well on the day.
I had the same stack.
Breece Hall, who had a shocking day, as did the Jets, put up a big fat donut.
Yep.
Rashee Rice, who he then stacked with Edwards-Helaire, which, yeah, I mean, I understood the Rashee Rice pick. Edwards-Helaire, I guess, is always a risk. I know Pacheco wasn't playing. The risk is that McKinnon's there, and McKinnon tends to hawk quite a bit of the receiving work as the receiving down, the receiving back, should I say. But actually, most of Edwards-Helaire's scoring this week came from the receiving game where he had 64 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown. So, well done, Rich, on that. And then he had Tucker Kraft at tight end, which again, probably a popular pick there. We don't get ownership percentages on game day. Maybe that'll change in the future, but no doubt that was a popular pick because he was dirt cheap. I think he was 2,200, which is super cheap for a tight end on game day. But yeah, quite a different lineup there. Very, very similar scoring, but quite a different lineup to get there, yeah. Which, if nothing more, has shown, Jack, as we say every week, a lot of different ways to win on game day.
Yeah, there is. As I say, again, Rob's lineup, I really like it all around. I like he's got the big stack there as well. Like, there's nothing in that lineup that I hate. I think it's a very good lineup, very well built as well.
Yeah, as we said earlier when we were talking about the big stacks, like the San Francisco game, he got that right, and then the
yeah, no bring back on that, did he?
No, he didn't. Which it's I don't
fine.
Think.
No, you don't. You don't always need that. It's fine.
You know, I wouldn't have been against it either. But yeah, and then he has McKinnon and Zeke, two probably fairly cheap running backs there, who's plugged into his lineup because he's obviously spread the funds elsewhere, which is absolutely fine and understandable. Like you said, I didn't like either of those picks in terms of ceiling, but I understood why people would pick them and the pathway to workload on the day.
That's a rare thing as well, picking two running backs in the same game. Mm. So brave to have done that. But they both had a path to get to sort of average sort of points anyway. So like, and Zeke had a better path probably to do a little bit better, do a lot better than what he actually done. He was the one who cost me last week on DraftKings in cash. So yeah, I like the lineup all round. I love the Njoku pick. He's really come alive this season. So I like the lineup all around. I didn't play last week. I forgot to get my lineup in.
There you go. My lineup was actually doing well. It was first in the early games. I think it was actually first at the end of the early games, but then the only late player I had was Kyren Williams. Yeah. So I was still kind of ticking over, but then anyone who had any San Francisco players or any other Rams players was just like, so moved further and further and further down the board until I completely exited the cash altogether. So yeah, nice week for me.
So David Bailey comes sixth, I think, this week on it. So well done to him. Loads of people we know are cashing on it, so that's good to see. Yeah,
absolutely. And David has been on the show this year as well, which, good to see that.
He is on a heater with DFS at the minute, a big heater. He's cashing in a lot of sports.
Yep, he is. Other than EuroLeague, which none of us are cashing in. Right. Well, that rounds us off, Jack. If you do want to sign up at game day, you've obviously still got a few weeks of the regular season left, so you can use our promo code, which is TDS4D, is it?
That's correct, yep.
It's only took me 16 weeks, but well, I've learned what the promo code is.
What we will do as well, I know we're not here next week and the week after, but what we will do is I'll do a couple of little reviews on the on the Twitter handle at Touchdowns for Those. So just head over there if you want to look at the winning lineup, and we'll review it there quickly. Massive thanks to everyone that's listened, watched, and you know, put up with us this season. Hopefully we've made you change, you know, think of how you play in DFS really, and hopefully you've been profitable. I know, you know, I've had people reach out to me that thanks for the help this season. They've really enjoyed the shows. It's changed the way they think about things, and you know, so I'm very happy with what we've done for the first year. We'll be back most definitely in the next season, but we might be back for the playoffs at some point. Who knows? But make sure you follow Putting for Dough show as well. We don't stop. We just keep rolling on to the next sport in DFS. Golf is certainly my love. I think it's Nick's love as well, and you know, even Mark enjoys a bit of golf. So make sure you follow us at Putting for Dough. We will be going on a long, long season from January all the way up till August.
Yep, yeah, same again. Rinse and repeat. Yeah, it's been a good season. I'm glad we made this change that we did, Jack, and didn't just talk about player picks, because that stuff's out there. And it's fine that it's out there, and it's fine if that is your fix. But I know that some of our listeners have won contests this year. They've taken down contests, they've taken down the Ashes, they've won in Fantasy Game Day. You know, that's been nice to see. And do you know what? If you haven't won money off the back of some of the things we've discussed, if nothing more, hopefully what we've spoke about this year has made you a better DFS player when it comes to NFL. Yep. Or it's changed your mindset or changed your thinking on certain things.
And do you know what the best thing is? You can go back from week one to week 16 and listen to every episode, and none of them age, because there's snippets in there of things that you will learn.
Yeah.
So none of these shows age.
And I know that some of our listeners do follow us on the in the golfing season as well. Some of the people that listen to this show listen to us whilst the golf starts, because the degenerates like us, Jack, and they play every DFS sport going. So why wouldn't you play the golf? And we're going to change things up a little bit there as well this season, where like historically we've just looked at every price range going and talked about the players we like, and we're probably going to make some changes there so that the content's a little bit easier to absorb, but it still gets the kind of key stuff that you might be looking for and you might need to have a profitable golf season. But that is us. Peace out. We won't see you next Tuesday, but I'm sure we will probably see you next month in the playoffs. Have a good Christmas.
Yes, happy Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year.
Yeah, and cheers for tuning in, and we'll see you again soon.